Welcome to the Path to Podcast Success. My name is Evan Johnson, and I want to share with you how to develop and maintain a successful podcast. My guests and I will discuss all things podcasting and how your podcast can become an essential part of your business. That means more revenue, better relationships with your audience, and so much more. If you haven't already, check out our website at ipodcastedit.com and enter your email address to get each episode delivered directly to your inbox, along with some other free information I'm sure you'll find useful. Get ready to turn on your mic and join me on the path to podcast success. Hey everybody, and welcome to the Path to Podcast Success. On today's episode, I get to talk with Andrew Kaplan, and it was an incredible conversation. Andrew's the host of the Shatter the Mold podcast, and we talk a lot about mindset as it relates to business and podcasting. Talk a little bit about his latest offering, which is the Last Law of Attraction book you'll ever need to read. And you know, he wrote that book, and what he does has a lot to do with mindset and manifestation and visualization as it relates to getting results. So we dive into that and his podcast and how it all connects in today's episode, and I hope you guys enjoy. Hey Andrew, thank you so much for being willing to come on today. I've been excited about this call.
Yeah, but I'm really pumped to be here. I'm super intrigued by the kinds of questions that you're going to ask me, because this is the first style of podcasting where you're just helping podcasters specifically that I've been on. So I'm super pumped to be here as well, man. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. Yeah. I'm happy that you're excited, and I'm pumped to get into that with you. So first, I'd like you to tell us a little bit about, in your own words, what is your podcast? And why do you have a podcast, and what is it about?
Right. So the podcast, you know, it's kind of funny. It started out as an experiment, and also it started out as a means of marketing a book that I put out at the end of last year. But really, it was something where, you know, everyone thinks they have an original idea, and I don't even know if I can call mine original or not, but I just know that I hadn't seen anything specifically out there before for people that were either entrepreneurs or just trying to level up their life in some way, where they were always encouraged to kind of think outside of the box and always find a different way and not so easily adhere to standards around them that may or may not necessarily be correct. And that's why I named it Shatter the Mold. I was actually looking for, I was going to do Break the Mold, and I did a quick Google search, and obviously that podcast had been taken. So I'm like, okay, this is my indicator. Let me take it up a notch, and we will Shatter the Mold instead. And really, it is just about giving people a way, a viewpoint. And I haven't covered health but like, you know, just in terms of business, in terms of relationships, of how can I do something in a different way that's better and not necessarily fitting in with the norm just for the sake of it.
So it sounds like you've kind of been going through each of the kind of the big areas of life, if you will. Like there's business, you know, finances and business, there's relationships, health, all that kind of stuff. So it sounds like you're kind of moving through those different areas and trying to shatter the mold and offer people new perspectives and different ideas and things like that, right?
Yeah, and it's interesting because, like, it's more like I'm leaving myself open to all the areas. Like, I've covered health briefly, but only when I found a guest who I knew was going to be solid for it. So at least at this point, and obviously directions and motivations can change, but I'm not seeking out a certain topic for the sake of it, but more of finding interesting guests and interesting ways of approaching topics, and then that's when the topic will be covered. And for me, this is actually a strategy. I wanted to intentionally put different things up so that my audience would expect more than one piece. That way, for me, my own style, not that this is anything wrong with it, but I wouldn't feel pigeonholed like I only had to cover one specific topic and be stuck to that. I wanted flexibility so that I can offer a lot more.
Right. And labeling it as Shatter the Mold really gives you that, because if you niche down the podcast and the title and the description and things like that, then you're kind of stuck unless you do like a whole rebranding of the podcast, which, you know, you can't do, but it's more difficult, of course. So you made a really good decision with how you branded the podcast, because that really let you, you know, expand wherever you wanted, depending on the guests. And so you said that you started the podcast as a way to market a book you released about a year ago. So it sounds like, you know, your first thought was, okay, well, how can I market this book? How can I get the word out? Okay, what about a podcast? But it sounds like it's evolved into much more than just a marketing tool. So talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, well, it's kind of funny. Everyone likes to think of them as the smartest person in the room, and everyone likes to think of themselves as like they're really on top of things. But a lot of this was trial and error. And I'll tell you, this wasn't the first podcast. The very first podcast that I was pushing for this book, it was called The Marketing Sales Superstar, which obviously you could hear there's a lot more of a niche in that and a lot more of a constriction on that, which is why it got too frustrating for me and I changed it up. But I guess the whole thing about it, believe it or not, that first book, there's an author name issue, which we discussed before we got on the call here, where I couldn't use my regular name because there's so many Andrew Kaplans out there. So I took Marketing Sales Superstar. So I called myself for that first one, Andrew Superstar Kaplan. And now that's stuck in that branding for better or for worse, even though I've changed the podcast. So I don't even know if I answered your question there, but I will say a lot of this has been trial and error and just trying to find the best thing that fits for me. And it just I didn't even know how much it was going to market that book. I just know that I wanted a way to speak to people on a regular basis after the book was already done. Because once you close the book on that, no pun intended, and it's out there, you don't really want to edit it, but you might have new content that you want to share with people.
Right. Okay. And what do you use the podcast for now? Is it still mainly for the book, or it sounds like, it sounds like it's kind of expanded beyond that and you're sharing all of these stories of these different people. So what is its purpose now if it's different than before?
Yeah, this is where I'm probably one of the worst people to advise your audience, or best, depending on how you look at it. Right now, I don't have a very specific intention for it, other than I want this to be awesome. Because my theory is I will have at some point a better idea of really where I want to point this weapon, so to speak. And when I do it, I want it to be a really good weapon with a really like a lot of huge bullets inside of it. So right now, the only goal is making it awesome, having awesome guests, giving awesome content, and then playing around. Because for example, that first book I had, it doesn't matter what you're selling, that's obviously a sales and marketing book. But now I have a new book that's based on the law of attraction, and I'm still using the show to draw people's attention to that. Because obviously, when I have a podcast episode, I talk about my projects. People that may not have otherwise heard about that book or that project are hearing about it in my introduction. So this is all about, for me, keeping my opportunities open, keeping avenues of success open, and just having something that's really good. Because I think in the end, when you make certain business decisions and you try to put out new projects, the best thing you can do for yourself is have at least one kind of solid platform where people know you and they like you and they trust you and they're actually invested in your success and how you can help them.
And so you decided for that platform for you is podcast.
Believe it or not, I'm going to be starting a YouTube channel probably in the next month. But I like podcast because it's so much easier, you know? You don't have to worry about video editing. You don't have to worry about lighting. You can read off a script if you really want to, even though I don't advise that. There's a lot of advantages to podcasting that a lot of people might normally not appreciate. And also, depending on how you do it, whether you're using Libsyn or you're using Anchor, I mean, it can be a very, very easy process to get it out there. And it's one of the easiest things to do in the world. You could be up and going in about a week if you want to.
Exactly. Yeah, no, I agree. And I found as well, though, that YouTube and podcasting, it kind of goes hand in hand because one can be the other. Like, I know often people will record their podcast episodes in video, and then you can put that up on YouTube and vice versa. Yeah. If you have a YouTube channel and you have content on there, if it's not too dependent on like the video itself, right? If the audio is good content there as well, you can just take that, strip out the audio, and then boom, you have a podcast already sitting on YouTube. You just got to put it up on Spotify and iTunes and all that kind of stuff.
And thank you, by the way, for making my point for me about like Shatter the Mold. That is a perfect example where it sounds so obvious and so simple when it's spoken out loud, but a lot of people wouldn't think like, hey, I can actually just repurpose this stuff, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's not lazy, it's not cheesy, it's just efficient, and it's a way to get my message out there on more than one platform, so why not?
Exactly. Plus, if you seriously want to, you could, we could have some like YouTube and podcast specific content on top of the stuff that goes on both. So yeah.
Yeah.
I'd like to switch gears a little bit and ask you an interesting question that I usually ask all of my guests towards the beginning.
Yeah, sure.
And then that is by asking, what was the biggest fear that you had when you were first starting your podcast, and did that fear end up coming true?
Right. So I would imagine that a lot of people, there's a fear of not being liked or not being good enough or like completely failing. And for me, the biggest fear, because I don't mind falling flat on my face, and you could probably tell just the way I speak, I'm not a very shy person, so I don't care about that. But I was scared or worried that, like, am I wasting my time here? Am I going to put all this effort? Because obviously, like, if you listen, like, you know, I produced the intro myself, and I did put a lot of blood, sweat, and tears into it. I just didn't want it to be a waste of my time. That was the main thing. And fortunately for me, you know, it did not become a waste of my time. And, you know, that first week I strategically launched, and I was in the top 200 for a couple categories at the time, which has been shifted. So I was worried it'd be a waste, but it wasn't. So I'm a happy camper with it.
And so, you know, so you're a little bit worried that it would be a waste of time, and it turns out that that didn't come true. Do you have any advice for those people out there who are worried about the same thing? What did you do to move past that fear and really put that up in the top like it was? I know, like, there could be a whole other episode just about that, but if you had a tip or two.
Yeah, well, this kind of just bleeds into podcast success in general. And I would say, and I kind of feel silly not having thought about this myself at the time that I was scared, but make sure you're enjoying the process, and specifically the topic, because it sounds silly, but as long as you're actually enjoying it, that's not going to be a waste of time in and of itself. But also, when you're enjoying it, that's going to be the biggest guarantee or the highest likelihood that it is going to be a success, and it's really going to speak to people, because people can hear your enthusiasm and they can hear your passion in your voice and in how you approach things. So obviously, if you're doing something that you hate or you're doing something that you know nothing about, people will hear that as well. So my biggest advice is to actually enjoy it, because no matter how successful it is in the beginning, it won't be a waste of time, and it will at least be much better positioned to increase in success over time as you run through it and, you know, really grow into what you're doing and get more used to it.
Right. So I have a question along those lines as well. And this kind of ties back into when you mentioned that you started your podcast mainly as a marketing tool. So most people start podcasts, I mean, unless they're just for fun podcasts about stuff, which is great, but for the entrepreneurs out there and for the people with books and with things like that, and we can dive into soon. I wanted to ask as well what you do like for business and if your podcast is part of that. But for those entrepreneurs out there who have a business or a book and they want to market and they think a podcast is a good platform for that, how, I know that when you go after things like a podcast, you can't come at it from only the point of, I want to market this and then make as much money as possible, because then it won't be genuine, right? So how, correct, as someone who approached podcasting originally as just a marketing tool, how did you separate that from your podcast and go at it with the sole purpose, like just in your heart of having a good time and making an impact, right? As opposed to getting all caught up in, oh God, how many listens do I have? Oh gosh, how much money am I going to make? Right. You know what I mean? Kind of like if you're doing like Facebook ads or something like that, you know, how did you, does that make sense? How did you separate the two, and how did you come at it from a place of just genuine care for people and making an impact while still trying to, you know, market and make money and all that kind of stuff?
So believe it or not, you technically answered the question in the wording of the question. And like to clarify, what I did here was my sole focus was making a kick-ass podcast. Because if you're really worried about making money, that's great, but no one's going to want to pay you a dime for anything if you're not giving something good to begin with. So for me, because a lot of it was focused on marketing and sales in the beginning, and you know, my business at that point was like taking on clients and consulting. So if I want to prove myself to them and I do want to make money, I've just got to put out like a quality product in the podcast itself. I had to go about it like, what's the best strategies I can give people? What are the best insights? what are the best viewpoints and perspectives? Because that's me. It's like an advertisement for who I am as a person. And that's the only thing that people are really going to pay attention to anyway. So let's say you're not a consultant. Let's say you're selling a product. Well, if you still come in as a podcaster and you're offering expert advice and guidance and you're actually giving value to your audience and that's your focus, the sales will take care of themselves. Like for me, why worry about the downloads? Like the last thing I want is a lot of downloads if I'm not even caring about what I'm doing. So I just made that an afterthought and just focused on, as cliche as it sounds, just making a really quality product, knowing that in the beginning I'd have to get used to it and nothing's going to be perfect right away.
Right, because, and I've talked about this a lot on past episodes as well, but, you know, episode 1 and episode 5, you know, they're never good as episode 20 and 50 and 100. So, yeah, you have to be willing to kind of suck at the beginning and keep working. And that's really, I'm happy you said that because that's something that I have been struggling with as well recently, is trying to move away from just not necessarily moving away from just podcasting, but finding a way to make it more genuine and more about the impact that people may be making with their podcast instead of just like the back end stuff, which is still interesting and I still like to talk about it. But I know a lot of entrepreneurs, especially or beginning entrepreneurs, especially when you're in the beginning, you struggle a lot with, okay, I gotta, you know, keep the lights on and I gotta make money to put into marketing and sales and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So it's hard to separate yourself and get out from under the need of money and success and just focus on making a quality product. But it really, I mean, you know, there's the phrase dollars follow value. And I think that's really true, you know, and it sounds like you've had that experience as well. So,
yeah. And I was also a believer. I was in the luxurious position, because the way you just answered me there, it reminded me of something that I'd never considered. And that's that people are trying to keep the lights on. If you are making your podcast your primary source of income from the beginning, God bless you. I personally find that to be a very, very challenging way to go about it. And I had, like, for me, I didn't make it a financial requirement. I just made it something where I was bringing in money in other ways and just using the podcast to support that. And that's all. And the reason I say that is because Russell Brunson says a lot, like, no matter what you do, you're going to suck in the beginning and you have to admit and accept that. So, like you said, got to get through those first 5 or 10 episodes knowing it's not going to be perfect. You're going to hate the sound of your voice. You're going to think that you're slurring your words. You're going to think that you're saying too many times. You're going to spot all these little flaws that no one else might even perceive or care about because you're just trying to grow into it and get used to what you're doing. So it really does become a thing where, again, if you're doing this as a primary source of income, God bless you. You have to move fast. I would definitely recommend doing like little tactics like, believe it or not, like storytelling. If you're doing your podcast and let's say your thing is showing people how to do with real estate, don't just give them a couple of techniques and hope that that's enough. Tell them through stories. Tell them like success stories about how people use the actual things that you're suggesting, because that perks people up. It gets them interested. It keeps them engaged. And it almost becomes like a soap opera that they want to follow along with on episodes to follow. And that's what really keeps them engaged.
Right. I mean, it's the same thing with a lot of marketing. And if you can really come at a podcast from the standpoint of using it as a marketing tool. And, you know, stories serve a lot of purposes, I feel like. I mean, number one, it keeps your audience more engaged. And number two, it makes you more genuine as well, especially if you draw on personal stories and ways that you've done whatever you're talking about to influence yourself personally. So,
yes.
Yeah.
And there's always, by the way, a way around that, because I guarantee you at least one person is listening right now saying, well, that's all well and good, but I can't think of any stories about me that people find interesting, which one is inaccurate, but two, if you actually think that's the case, it doesn't stop you from telling other stories about other people that still make your point for you.
Exactly. I mean, just have guests, right? Like you have stories that I don't have because I'm not you and you're not me. But by having you on the podcast, I give you a platform to share your stories, which is the same thing you do on your podcast. So, you know, that's another great thing about podcasting, is if you really don't think you have very many stories, or at least not enough for, you know, a weekly episode for the foreseeable future, right? Then you can have on guests and just give them a platform to talk about their stories. So, yeah.
Absolutely.
Tell us a little bit. I want to change gears a little bit. Tell us about what you do for business. Like, what is your podcast only for your book and also just for, you know, sharing stories and making an impact? Or do you have any kind of business that your podcast is a marketing tool for or something along those lines?
Right. So the podcast was in the beginning a marketing tool along with the book to bring in clients for marketing coaching, clients to do copywriting for them, basically people that had businesses that needed help selling their product or service. I was using both the podcast and that first book as a, you know, the beginning of a funnel of sorts to get people aware of what I can do and who I am so that then they would hire me. Now, that has since shifted, and that's part of the reason why I don't have a more specific goal in mind for my podcast right now other than being awesome, because I've been transitioning where I'm only selling products through the new book that I published and a couple of products around that book, because I'm personally trying to get away from the consultations and the direct interaction with people only because it takes a lot of time and energy away from other things that I want to do. So in the beginning, it was certainly very useful and certainly beneficial because I would have people approach me saying, you know, I knew they approached me through the podcast because they were emailing me through the form on my podcast page. So I knew that's how they heard about me and I knew it was good for business. But right now I'm more about just selling products outside of that don't require my personal attention, just so that I can do more things and expand out in other ways.
Right. If you don't mind me asking, what else do you like doing? What have you been trying to move into, if you don't mind me asking?
Yeah. Well, that kind of comes down to my new book, The Last Law of Attraction Book You'll Ever Need to Read, which obviously it's a long and ambitious title. And it's kind of funny because the first book was called It Doesn't Matter What You're Selling. And the new one's called The Last Law of Attraction Book You'll Ever Need to Read. And they both have the goal for different market niches where it's kind of like the first one, you're over consuming all this marketing and sales information so much to the point where there's paralysis by analysis and you don't do anything. And that was meant to simplify it so you had an actionable game plan for your marketing. I am personally interested in law of attraction myself, and I notice a lot of people I know would do the same thing where they're confused and they're overwhelmed and they never actually use what they learned from that. So I wanted to write a book that used sales psychology and human psychology to reframe things to inspire them to actually use the law of attraction rather than just finding all these additional resources, never getting anything done. So really what I've been doing with my time, and you can tell there's no time for, you know, playing basketball like I used to or having fun. Like, I'm so passionate about this. I've been pouring all of my time and energy into marketing that book specifically, into building products around that topic, just because, like, I'm really on fire about it right now. I'm really passionate. So I don't want to waste that passion. And fortunately, it's been profitable right away. So I have the luxury of being able to continue on that and push forward. And because it's sold on Amazon, I don't even have to worry about shipping any products. They do all the work for me.
Right. And so that's interesting. And that's something that I've been kind of thinking about as well. I know that you would free up a lot of time if you move away from, you know, working one-on-one with clients. You'll definitely be charging less for whatever product or service you're providing since you're not working one-on-one, but you have the luxury of only really needing to focus on marketing and sales and things like that. And you have a lot of time to devote to those things that you like. So that's awesome to hear. I'm happy that you've been, you know, moving more in a direction of doing things that you're passionate about.
Yeah, thanks. It's I highly recommend it for anyone that can pull it off.
Right, exactly. So tell us a little bit, let's change gears a little bit and tell us about the back end of your podcasting. Now, you know, I still like to talk about that kind of stuff because it's interesting to me. So I'm curious to hear, how do you tackle the work necessary to put out a successful podcast? Do you outsource any of it or do you do it all yourself?
I should outsource it, but I don't. And I know people hear me when I say this because I know they're the same way. I am a bit of a control freak to my detriment. And the only reason that I do it myself, or at least the way that I'm rationalizing in my head, is like right now I'm just having a conversation with you. So I'm not stuttering. I'm not saying a lot or anything like that. But I sometimes will record something a certain way and I don't like it. And I'm wrong about this, but I personally don't trust somebody to edit it in a certain way to my liking. So I do it myself. But also because I'm doing so much video editing for a back-end product of my new book, it's kind of like natural for me because it only takes me 2 hours per episode. It takes me less than an hour to record with my guest and then less than an hour to actually edit everything. So for me, because I'm so efficient and quick at it using ScreenFlow and just having the right equipment, I rationalize that I still do it myself. But if you could afford to have someone help you, I highly recommend it because that'll improve your output.
I get it. It's tough to kind of begin down the path of hiring out the work because there's always a part, and I've been struggling with this as well. It's interesting to hear you say that. There's always a part of me that worries that, you know, they're not going to do it to the same level I do, or, you know, they won't do it in the same way and it won't be the kind of product that I envision it to be or that it is now, right, while I'm doing it. So it's interesting, but then I think about the time that I would save, you know what I mean? And the effort that I wouldn't have to do. And so, you know, it's definitely a struggle. So it's interesting to hear you say that.
Yeah. And by the way, here's the obvious, well, it's kind of obvious after you hear it, but until you don't, you actually don't realize that there's this thought kind of creeping in the back of your mind. But the thing is, when you decide to get help, because everyone's like, oh, it's going to save you so much time, it's going to be so much easier, but it's not going to save you time and be easier the first 2 or 3 weeks. That's the growing process where you have to communicate with your assistant a lot and help kind of like groom them to what they're going to do. So people don't realize they hear that promise of it's going to save them time and energy, but then they go and they try it and then they have a really horrible week and they're really pissed off and you're like, screw this, I'm doing it to myself again, not realizing that it's actually more difficult for those couple of weeks in the beginning. But then after they have that settled in, then it really smooths out. So it's kind of like you've got to go in expecting and being ready for the fact that there's going to be a dip and it's going to be more difficult in the beginning, which is actually really frustrating because when people actually look for help, they're too overwhelmed to begin with. They've already let it go too far. So now they're having all this extra difficulty. It becomes more frustrating. It becomes like this never ending battle that they can't even win. You just got to know ahead of time, those first couple weeks are really going to suck, but then it's going to get better.
Exactly. Yeah. That's, you know, it takes everything that's worthwhile, you know, takes time to make happen for sure. So I also wanted to ask, what would you say your biggest struggle has been with your podcast up to this point?
So for me, I had this grand plan where I was going to do 3 episodes a week and then I was going to up it to 5.
Oh, wow.
And look at my schedule now and it's like once every week or once every other week. My biggest struggle has been keeping that promise to myself of actually consistently pounding out the content. And the only reason I've been able to rationalize for myself that this is okay for me is because I'm not currently using the podcast as a specific means of bringing in business. Because if I was, this would be like the biggest sin I could commit by not being consistent the way I should. That's been the struggle for me because it's just, I have so many things going on. It's hard for me personally to keep pumping out content that much on a regular basis.
Right. Yeah. I know that consistency is huge for podcasts because I've done a lot of research into things like iTunes rankings and things like that. And I know that if you miss even one, like scheduled posts, like if you have a podcast episode come out every Monday morning, for example, and that's like your schedule and it's been that way, but you miss a Monday, then iTunes really like kind of rakes you over the coals for that and you get dropped off rankings and things. So it's, yeah, I get it. But you know, if it's a just for fun podcast, the pressure is really off in a lot of ways, you know, if it's like a passion project. So yeah.
Exactly. And, you know, not that this is the easiest thing to do, but if you're someone that wants to be consistent and make it work, also someone who wants to make sure that they really are comfortable doing what they're doing, some people won't need to hear this because they're already podcasting, but like batch produce 20 episodes, see how long it takes you to do them, see how hard it is, see if you actually like it. And then assuming everything is running on all cylinders, you've got this like this cushion and this window where you can just keep doing what you're doing, but now you've got like a backlog of episodes. So part of the reason that I suck at this is because I don't batch produce. And that's something that I wish I can change, but I've just been so busy fulfilling, you know, other products for people and want to make sure I deliver on the stuff that they spent money on.
Right, exactly. Yeah, and I know that's something that's helped me, and I know that's a pretty good practice when it comes to podcast producing. I've been trying to implement this more as well as time goes on. Record only take 1 or 2 days, like 1 day a week or 1 day every other week or something like that, and record a bunch of episodes on that day, right? So have a podcast record day be like Thursday or Saturday or something like that, and then take 1 day and just edit all of that content, right? Instead of kind of doing it slowly over time, just knock it all out 1 day, you know, the recording and the producing. I know that that's big for helping to, you know, get ahead, especially if you only release one episode a week. Then even if you record 6 episodes, that's like a month and a half worth of content. So yeah, it's not too difficult to make that happen, but you know, each episode takes time, so I get it. Right. Andrew, I have been thinking about this recently, and I want to ask you a new question. How do you feel about that?
Go for it.
So I've been on some podcasts recently, and I listened to podcasts where they ask guests a really interesting question along the lines of, like, if there was a biography or a novel like written about your life, what would the title be and things like that. I want to put an interesting spin on that. And now it could be the podcast you have now, you know, that's not a cop-out answer, but if there was a podcast created about your life, right? Like, you know, after you're gone or up till now, if there was a podcast, if you or someone, you know, were going to create a podcast about your life, what would the title of that podcast be?
Oh, wow. I don't know how marketable this would have been, but it would be called Searching and Finding and Then Searching Some More, because that's kind of like been my life story about, you know, whether I'm searching for more success in business or trying to find answers and even finding them, but never being content and never finding quite enough and then pushing myself even further. Because I think sometimes people, they think, oh, I'll be happy when, or I'll be successful when, but a lot of times you will meet certain goals or get to certain points, and then you'll figure out that you want so much more anyway. So yeah, searching and finding and then searching some more would probably be the name right there.
I like that. I like that a lot, because a lot of people get really, really caught up in trying to reach their destination and reach their goals, right? And there's nothing wrong with having goals and working to achieve them. But the problem is, when you reach that goal, there's always going to be another goal, right? Like, you know, everybody says joy is in the journey, not the destination. And that's kind of, you know, a cheesy thing to say, but it's really true, because there's never not going to be a destination, right? Like, you're always going to be on some kind of journey. You know, you're always going to be searching.
And here's what makes life so complicated sometimes, because here you and me are agreeing on that. And I think we would both say, like, that's the best advice in the world. But also that can be a distorted way that people stay addicted to their struggle, where sometimes they're telling themselves it's the journey, even though they can actually push forward and get to their destination, they stop themselves not realizing they're actually addicted to the process of struggle rather than search. And it becomes such a frustrating thing, to which people say, well, okay, that's nice. How do I get out of that? And the answer is, be willing to look at yourself as a success every single day, because when you actually can genuinely do that, that's when you're going to start to surprise yourself, and you're going to start to run into more destinations than you ever even expected. Bigger destinations, more enjoyable destinations, more ambitious ones, that you'll then begin searching again, only from a place of a lot more fulfillment and a lot more power and potency.
Exactly. You have to feel gratitude, and you have to be happy with where you are right now, right? Even if you're not at your destination, and you have to just take some of the pressure off, I suppose, and really just visualize, like you mentioned, really kind of just visualize that success and really live in it, even if you haven't necessarily reached it yet, right? That's really interesting. I didn't expect the conversation to take this turn, but that's really true with people being addicted to their struggles. That's something that I've definitely seen firsthand with people who are really close to me, and with myself as well. You know, especially if you're an entrepreneur, and if you've found some success, but you've happened to lose that success in some way and kind of back a couple levels, You know, mm-hmm. and it's of course, it's why people who, one of the reasons why people who win the lottery end up blowing all of the money, and it doesn't, their lives don't end up changing, or they even end up worse than they were before they won. It's hard to kind of get out of that cycle of the struggles, yeah. and being under the stress of money is one of the main ones, right? The money struggles.
Yeah, and you even described, like, you know, this seems so personal, like I was surprised to hear it go in this direction, but the more personal something is, the more universal it actually is. It only mm-hmm. feels super personal because you're the one living through that right now, not realizing that that guy across the pond on Facebook who's posting all that photos about how great his life is actually living the same thing, and he's just putting up a front.
Exactly. Yeah, because it's hard, you know, and most people don't talk about things like that, right? They only want to talk about how great everything is, right? And how cool their life is. But, you know, most of the time, the people who post most about that and who are most intense about showing how great their lives are happen to have the most struggles. You know what I mean? As far as that goes. So,
without a doubt.
Yeah. So that's interesting. So, you know, for those listeners out there, what would be your advice for them if they, and that you kind of already mentioned, but, you know, this would be, you know, as we kind of wrap up the podcast, what would be your advice for listeners out there who, you know, A, they might be wanting to start a podcast themselves about, you know, or if they're just thinking about starting a podcast, maybe they have one and they're not really too focused on it, or they're not putting a lot of effort into it. You know, what would be your advice to them?
Right. So this answer may be a little long-winded. It's not like I gave you any of those so far, right?
go for it.
I'll go. Well, also I talked about the value of storytelling. So I'll begin this with a story, because when I was younger, MTV used to have this show on, I don't even remember the name of it, but it was a thing where someone needed to accomplish something. And it was like this out of reach goal. And MTV would, you know, the producers would bring in some kind of expert to guide them through. And they would go through 30 days and it would be predictable, because in the beginning they'd be enthusiastic and then they'd struggle. And then they'd have like the heart to heart pep talk with the expert. And then all of a sudden everything would be all sunshine and rainbows at the end. And the interesting thing about that is it's telling a story over only 30 days where a person apparently like achieved this big goal. And it's presented in over an hour where someone presented this big goal. So our brain, in this is one example of many in which our brain gets used to seeing this thing where the path to success is like, boom, out of nowhere. And it's like this big boost. And that is actually one, it was complete BS that that person succeeded if you paid close attention, because success in most cases isn't this explosion out of nowhere, it's a steady progression. So my answer would be just for people to remember that even if you got an influx of $10,000 tomorrow, you'd have this brief feeling of excitement and this would have been like you'd be wowed, but then 10 or 20 minutes later you'd kind of be your same self and you'd be feeling the same emotions that you're used to feeling every single day, because that's what your brain's accustomed to and it's used to pumping out those same chemicals. So really, whatever podcast you want to do, just understand that it's going to be small wins that most likely build up over time, because Joe Rogan was always Joe Rogan, but the Joe Rogan podcast was not what it was 10 years ago. It was this rinky-dink thing that maybe had 4 subscribers. Everybody begins with like 1 or 2 subscribers. And you've got to realize and remember that it is going to be a long path, which is all the more reason why you want to pick something that you're going to enjoy, because it's then that you're going to have a lot more gratitude for your wins, which is going to lead to a lot more wins, which is going to lead to a lot more of an enriching experience, which will lead to a lot more success.
Exactly. And that reminds me of one of my favorite sayings, you know, but pretty much everybody's heard it, but a journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step. And even though that's very true, the problem is when you watch TV and you see episodes and the whole point is for them to, you know, wrap everything up cleanly in 30 minutes, you see their journey of 1,000 miles, you see their first step, you see step 500, and then you see step 1,000, and it's a cool montage, right? You have to remember, if you're watching a TV show, let's say you're watching, I don't know, just take a classic, you know, just think any TV show, you only see some of the highlights of the characters' lives, right? They walked that 1,000 miles,
but you only saw like five steps. And so people out there, it's really interesting that you said that. And I really like that you said that, because it's tough to realize that, you know, you can't just close your eyes and there's not going to be some cool montage with fun music. And then you open your eyes and then boom, you've reached your success, right? In like 30 minutes. It takes, you have to go on that journey of 1,000 miles, right? You can't.
This isn't Rocky IV.
Exactly. And that's tough when really all you watch and all you consume is people reaching their goals in an hour or in 30 minutes or whatever. And then when you yourself don't reach it in 30 minutes, you think that you're a failure. So you have to really take that pressure off and realize that this is life. This is not, you know, TV or media. And you just need to focus on putting out the best content you can. And then eventually you'll get there. You know what I mean? So,
yeah. And also there will be a tipping point at one point, like after you have enough small wins, then the wins will get big. Because like you take like the show Friends, for example, this isn't like a training that I did recently around my new book, but you know, everyone looks at Friends and you know, they kind of had that first season and all of a sudden they were superstars. And it's like, wow, that happened overnight. Well, the show happened overnight, but all the auditions and all the networking and rubbing elbows and all the failures and all the years of frustration and all the, you know, struggling to make ends meet, like no one remembers that stuff or saw that stuff because those actors were in such like little bit roles that didn't matter. You would not have seen those steps anyway. And then you take someone like Madonna, like her first album made her a global sensation, just one album. But she worked at the clubs for years, just scraping and clawing and scratching and trying to get things done. And her wins were little ones where she met the right person and she had the right connection. And then she knew a producer and then she wrote a song. So in the beginning, there will be small steps, but there will be a tipping point where the steps become huger. Only this time you have grown into the person that can handle it and leverage it and go even further from there.
Exactly. It's really interesting that you say that, because I know a lot of people out there, you know, for example, my girlfriend who I live with here in Atlanta, she's an actor and she's starting out her career. She's 20 years old now and I'm 21. So she hasn't been on any major roles. Like she hasn't been on Friends, right? Or the modern Friends or whatever. And so it's interesting, you know, sometimes it's really easy, to compare yourself. And I bring up that example because it reminds me of Friends and like Joey Tribbiani on Friends, right? I'm not an expert in the show. It's not my favorite show in the world, but I have seen it. And you see characters on TV shows like Joey become successful, right? You see get the acting gigs and whatever. And so you don't see all those struggles because that's not glamorous for TV. You don't see, you know, there's what, one Christmas episode a season. So if there's 10 seasons, you have 10 Christmases, but that's 10 years. A lot of things can happen in 10 years, a lot more than what they can show in a season of TV. So, you know, all those struggles have to happen. And it's just really interesting to me to hear you talk about that. And it's something that a lot of people I think need to hear, because it's really easy to go down a path of beating yourself up over, oh, why haven't I reached my goals yet? Am I a failure? Am I not doing this right? So I think that's really interesting what you said. And I appreciate you sharing that value. So thank you for that.
Yeah, man. And like part of the reason like I want to offer that is because there is so much value in the mechanics behind podcasting and the techniques and all those pieces. But then that mindset part is also such like another huge part of the equation, because you got to have a good mindset behind the mechanics that you're doing so that you can leverage them the highest way possible. So it's just always good to whatever measure you can to keep that positive mindset. That's where great things are going to happen.
Definitely. Perfect. Well, Andrew, thank you so much again for being willing to come on the show. I really, really do appreciate you taking the time to have this conversation. I think a lot of people are going to get a lot out of it. I know that I did. I had a good time. So thank you.
Yeah, thank you. I had a wonderful conversation here too. I really enjoyed this, and I really hope that your listeners can glean some value from our talk.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of The Path to Podcast Success. Make sure to head over to ipodcastedit.com to check out the show notes and get each episode of the show delivered right to your inbox. And don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Spotify, or whichever audio service you use. If you want to continue the conversation or you have a topic you'd like me to discuss on a future episode of the show, please don't hesitate to reach out. Thank you again for tuning in, and I'll see you on the next episode as we continue down the path to podcast success.